I'm Michael White in the Manchester Central Conference Arena, where the Conservative Party is trying to move the agenda on to welfare reform and other policy goodies and the economy after 2 days of mixed messages on Europe.
Let us make this the week, not when we talk to ourselves, not when we spend all the time talking about our opponents. Let this be the week we talk to the country about our plans, about our vision, about our team, about how we can bring change to our country. All Labour did last week was talk about us. And you know what? A lot of it comes down to this. Don't risk youth and inexperience and change, because after all, we've been doing such a great job. What planet are these people living on? And you know what? If the charge is youth, enthusiasm and energy, I plead guilty.
We'll hear from our head of business, Dan Roberts, later on as George Osborne puts the finishing touches to one of the most important speeches of his career. For now, though, the party's in a buoyant but careful mood, not triumphalist. Nobody's getting carried away, least of all party chairman, the redoubtable Eric Pickles.
Beyond a no illusion, the general election is not in the bag. We still have a mountain to climb. To form the next government, we need to take 117 seats. The Conservative Party has not done that since 1931.
Words echoed by his fellow Yorkshireman, Shadow Foreign Secretary, and of course former party leader William Hague.
But whatever our successes, and however much the country cries out for change, we must never allow one morsel of complacency to creep into our campaign. We must be conscious that the system is stacked against us, that Labour only have to draw to win a majority in the House of Commons, but we have to win by some 2 million votes to do the same.
But the star turn of the conference so far was, of course, you guessed, Boris Johnson. He took to the stage as dishevelled as usual and got a standing ovation even before he cracked his first joke.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's great to be here, folks. It's absolutely wonderful to be here in Manchester, one of the few great British cities I have yet to insult. And I intend to keep a clean sheet today, my friends, because if we can win in the capital, then we can win in Manchester and in any inner city in Britain. It is time for a new and energetic Conservative administration to sort out this country's finances. It's time to give the British people back their pride and their trust in their political institutions, in this country and in its leaders. Folks, it's time for change. And the Conservatives will give you your money's worth, and they'll give you change as well. Thank you.
And we've bumped into Andrew Jimson, sketchwriter of the Daily Telegraph, who's also the unauthorised biographer of Boris Johnson. Legend has it that Boris offered him £100,000 not to write it. Is that true, Andrew?
It is absolutely true. Boris thought that my book might damage his otherwise rather bumpy ascent to 10 Downing Street. So he did. He offered me astonishing sums of money not to do it, but like a fool, I rejected.
But yet you were rather kind. You were severe on his occasional shortcomings and moral failings and other disasters, but you were generally quite kind. What did you think of his speech today by Boris standards?
Well, Boris cheered people up, and he can't see a show without stealing it. And he really, I think deep down, he really thinks that it should be David Cameron with the walk-on part and Boris playing the main role.
You don't suppose when he said we ought to have a referendum that he was stirring it up for Dave, because that was off-message, wasn't it?
At the end of his Daily Telegraph column, he pays tribute to Cameron's courage on Europe. But, of course, Cameron hasn't shown much courage. He just doesn't want to say what he's... Well, he's shown the courage not to be accused of vacillation. So Boris, yeah, of course, he's teasing. He's teasing old Dave and destabilising him and playing to the gallery at the Tory conference.
There's a programme going out this week about the Bullingdon Club, of which Boris and George Osborne and David Cameron are all members. Cameron was terribly embarrassed about it on the Mar programme, so he said. Does he mean it?
No, he doesn't. He's got a thicker skin than that. This Bullingdon Club, it's a subject of enormous interest to middle-class journalists who went to Oxford but weren't elected to the Bullingdon Club.
I didn't even stand to be elected.
Nor are you middle-class white, but the point is it's a nursery of statesmen. Radek Sikorski, present Foreign Minister of Poland, George Osborne, Boris Johnson, David Cameron. They learn how to carry off things which would embarrass other people.
They learn how not to hold their drink and how to be rude to waitresses, so far as I can see from my Cornish, lonely proletarian standpoint.
Well, we can rely on you to keep the class war sort of alive and kicking, but this time you're on the wrong side, White.
The Telegraph's Andrew Jimson. Well, if Boris provided the stardust, the party faithful were keeping their feet firmly on the ground, publicly at least. No one's breaking open the bubbly or counting their chickens over next year's election result.
Well, it's superlative, I have to say. I think the quality of the speakers is excellent. I mean, I love Boris, especially. Well, I think he talks a lot of sense, and I live in London. Yeah. So I'm hoping, from a selfish point of view, that there'll be...
You don't ever feel he's sort of winging it?
He's a very bright man.
Yes,
he is.
The clever people sometimes wing it.
Well,
I never know what he's going
do.
To say next.
Well, everybody wings it. That's life in politics, isn't it?
Okay. How confident are you of doing what Boris did last year next time and winning the election?
Well, as he said, I don't think it's in the bag. We'll have to wait and see.
What do you think of Manchester?
I'm originally from Manchester, but I left 30 years ago. I think that says it all.
But does it say the city has changed a great deal for the better?
I didn't realise we could do this. It makes me proud of being a northerner. Yeah.
Excuse me, sir, we're from the Guardian Video Audio Unit asking people what they think of the conference so far.
Well, it's only got started.
Well, it's been a rip-roaring start. You've had Boris.
Boris is, yeah.
Does Boris make you laugh?
He does, yes.
He makes everybody laugh, doesn't he? What about the election? Is it in the bag?
No. Because there's too many people that could sit at home and think nothing can happen, nothing can be done about the troubles. That's what I'm concerned about.
What sort of nothing can be done?
Well, they just say give up, and they just say...
People don't give up, do they?
I think they do.
When you say that, what troubles do you mean specifically?
Well, the whole government trouble that we've got at the moment, the financial position.
Thing. Is that what worries you most?
And the danger to jobs. I mean, I'm retired. I'm fortunate I'm retired with a decent pension. I didn't get it cocked up by Brown, you know, grabbing £5 billion a year.
Very glad to hear you're all right. We're asking people, how are they finding the conference?
I've only just arrived, so...
You with Boris?
Yes.
Are you confident of winning the election?
I don't think anyone can really be confident at this point.
Funny, everybody's so cautious.
Well, it's the times that we're living in, really.
What do you mean by that?
The economy, well, international kind of affairs, everything. It's just, nothing is certain. You can't say we're going to win without, you know, putting all the groundwork from now and between the elections.
Yeah. I should tell the listeners you're wearing a beautiful blue top. It goes with the party colours perfectly.
I know.
Excuse me, sir. We're from the Guardian Audio Unit. We're asking people what do they think of the conference? What's going to happen?
Well, I'm hoping we'll have a very uplifting conference. Very much looking forward to it. Very much looking forward to the leader's speech on Thursday.
Are you confident of winning the election?
Optimistic. But of course, I'd like to think we are confident, but there's a long way to go yet before we arrive at next May.
Excuse me, madam, you're looking cheerful. We're from the Guardian Audio Unit. What do you think of the conference so far?
Absolutely brilliant.
What do you like best?
Just the whole buzz and to actually wait to hear the announcement of new policies.
And are you confident of winning the election?
It's never in the bag.
Striking that nobody was going to say outright, course we're going to win. This afternoon, all eyes will be on Shadow Chancellor George Osborne. He'll be attempting to shake off accusations that he made the wrong call in the year of financial recession and tough decisions which saw governments of all shades propping up banks around the world and pumping money into the economy. Last week, the Chancellor, Alistair Darling, joked that the country needed real grown-up politicians in charge of the economy, i.e. not ones in short trousers like you, George. Yesterday, Osborne gave delegates here in Manchester a taste of what's to come.
We are going to talk about the next chapter in the history of this country's enterprise and innovation. And we do so at a time when Britain faces a jobs crisis. One in five young people cannot find work today. There are 2.5 million people who are unemployed. There are more people, more children growing up in workless households in this country than any other country in Europe. And there are 5 million people who have been on out-of-work benefits even before this recession started. We have got to get Britain working again.
Dan Roberts is The Guardian's head of business. Here's Dan's tips for what to look out for.
Well, later today we're expecting two big speeches for anybody following politics or the economy, and that's Ken Clark and George Osborne. And this will be quite a crucial day, as everybody's expecting them to flesh out exactly what they would do to turn the economy around, and also perhaps to answer some of the criticism over the last year or so that they've made some of the wrong calls on the economy. On day one yesterday, we had an interesting announcement that would bring some cheer to small businesses. The Tories have promised to scrap national insurance contributions for any startup for the first 10 employees. Now, this is quite token stuff, but nonetheless, for a party that's trying to kind of reposition itself as the party of small business and enterprise, this is symbolic of the kind of stuff I think we're going to get more of today. Quite pointedly, though, we didn't get any references to the banks all day long. At Labour in Brighton last week, you couldn't move for politicians talking about the greedy bankers, and they've been conspicuous by their absence today in Manchester. I expect there'll have to be some reference from Ken Clark and George Osborne on this. In particular, I think George Osborne could be quite tough on bonuses. He's been increasingly vitriolic in interviews on this, so it'd be interesting to see if he puts any policy flesh on that.
Dan Roberts there, and he'll be back tomorrow to give you his verdict on George Osborne's sums. Last night saw the final instalment of The Guardian's series of conference fringe debates this year, entitled How to Fix Politics After the Scandals of 2009. Previous debates have seen the Lib Dems call for electoral reform and David Miliband give his support to open primaries for selecting candidates. Last night, Nick Bowles, one of the great new hopes of the Conservative Party, had his say. Bowles is standing as Tory candidate in Grantham, where a certain Margaret Thatcher first made her name, and more recently, the sitting MP, Douglas Hogg, famously repaired his moat.
I'm delighted, and I'm sure everybody in this room is delighted, that the most senior political sage on The Guardian has decided that our winning the next election is inevitable. I think probably Michael White is alone in this room in thinking that's the case. We still have a huge amount to do to prove that we are worthy of this, and I think that one huge aspect of that is proving that we are, in fact, going to do politics differently than has been done by Labour and Conservative governments for decade after decade after decade. And the key defining feature of the way that politics has been done by both major parties since the Second World War is centralism, is decisions being made in the centre by a few politicians at the very top and many unelected leaders of quangos and organisations. And that has led to a situation where once every 4 or 5 years you get one chance, one vote, to express all of your views on every subject. Because all of those things are run and all of the important decisions about them are made by people who are elected by that one vote. Now, is it any surprise that voters don't take much interest in politics if that is the only way that they are given a chance to express their opinion? And I think that is the way you do it. You introduce more local decision-making with directly accountable people making it. You give local authorities more free powers to shape housing, to shape environment, to plan their local transport networks. Then you might get people voting again because they'll see it's making a difference. But having one vote every 4 years to determine your view on every subject under the sun is sort of like having no vote every 4 years, other than who should be Prime Minister. And my choice is David Cameron, but I want to trust the British people a bit more than that.
Well, it's been a satisfactory conference. Party officials are delighted that we tell them it's very boring so far. A bit flat in the hall, somebody blames the acoustics. A bit cautious, don't want to count our chickens before they're hatched. I'm sure they're dying to count their chickens, but they're not going to be caught on the television camera counting them, because they all remember what happened to Neil Kinnock in 1992 at the Sheffield rally. Some people blame that, not the Sun newspaper, what happened next. And the Tories remember these things. They're taking no chances.